It's Thursday, and that means it's time to talk to a professional who would never forget a name.
So, I wish your son Miller all the best.
My name is Noah!
Why? Because his voice is so velvety smooth.
Yo, Minella, kick it one time, boy.
It makes the girls go,
oh my.
He's a rapper so fly.
Philadelphia, born and raised. On the playground is where I spent most of my days. Chilling out, laxing, relaxing, or cooling, or shooting some b-ball outside of the school when a couple of guys, they were up to no good, started making trouble in my neighborhood. I got one little fight. My mom got scared. She said, you're moving with your auntie and uncle in Bel Air. I whistled for a cab, and when it came near, my license plate depressed. It had a dice in the mirror. If anything, I would say that this cab was rare, but I thought, nah, forget it. Yo, Holmes, the Bel Air.
He makes Eminem want to cry. It's the voice of the Jayhawks, Brian Hay.
The Sportos, the Motorheads, Geeks, they all adore him. They think he's a righteous dude.
Right now, on the Sports Ticket, brought to you by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Jamie at 118 North Mill and Beloit, or call them at 738-5701.
Yes, indeed. After a one-week hiatus, he is all ready to go here, back to talk some spring football and a little bit of basketball as well. It is the voice of the Kansas Jayhawks, Brian Haney. Brian, how you doing, buddy?
Doing well, Wade. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing great. Why don't we jump into it? Why don't we start with the basketball part, and then we'll move in and talk a lot about the spring football showcase coming up in this weekend with the KU football team. Since we last spoke, Udoka Azubuike declared for the NBA draft. No surprise here. I didn't sign with an agent. I guess my question for you is, what do you think would it take for him to stay in the draft? Is there a certain... would it be they forecast him to be a late first round pick? You think that's good enough for him to maybe stay in the draft? What would it take for Udoka not to come back to Kansas?
Yeah, I think if he got news that he was a first rounder, I think he'd stay in. But, you know, as we've talked about on previous reports, this is a really deep draft, deep at his position. And I think that there's a lot of glaring concerns in his game that need to be polished up, some rough edges here or there. Don't get me wrong, terrific upside. You love the unteachable, uncoachable aspects of 7 feet tall, 280 pounds, with soft hands. But there's a lot of other things that, as we talked about last week, I think really behoove him to come back and spend a year working on it. He may not. I mean, we saw Texas Tech, Zaire Smith, put his name in and then 2 weeks later say, you know what, I'm staying in, I'm hiring an agent, I'm all in. And that could be what ultimately happens if Udoka gets good news as the process moves along. But I think Bill Self's quote was somewhat telling, and I could be reading into it wrong, but when he talked about how, hey, it's going to be really interesting to see how much Udoka can improve between now and the end of May when decisions have to be made, how much progress can be gained, I thought that was somewhat telling. That was not a coach to me that sounded like a guy that's like, yeah, we wish him the best, and you know, it's going to be great to see who drafts him, or you know, great to see just how many folks are lining up to take him. And I think there'll be plenty that would take him in the second. But as we talked about, you know, here's a guy that could improve his draft stock exponentially and be a lottery pick next year, have a chance to be a top 10 guy if he comes back and dominates like we think he can, and proves that he can be a more consistent rebounder, to be a consistent free throw shooter north of 55%. Can add more to his game than just the back-to-the-basket running 3-foot hook shot. Because he's going to have more in the tool bag of tricks at the NBA level, where every guy on the floor is a stretch four, basically, and every five-man can hit from 20 feet. And so, to me, he's a terrific prospect, but I think he can be an outstanding prospect in another year with more questions answered. And so, we'll see. Just because I feel that way, and many of the draft projections have him as a late second-round guy doesn't mean he doesn't stay in. I mean, obviously, he has a great opportunity to impress some folks, and as we say all the time in drafts, whether it's the NFL draft tonight or the NBA draft in June, it just takes one team to be enamored with you. You don't have to convince the other 29.
Yeah.
And so I think that Udoka, you know, is doing the right thing by putting his name in the draft and testing out the process and hearing directly from all these NBA folks specifically on where his glaring weaknesses are. I just think a lot of these questions he already knew already, but it doesn't hurt to try out the process, especially if you think you're definitely gone after next season. So I'm glad he's doing it. But for any Kansas fan that thinks it's a foregone conclusion that he's coming back based on all these mock draft projections to have him in the mid to late second round, I wouldn't put too much stock in that either. You never know what goes on in the mind of a young man. And I reference the Zaire Smith story simply to say that sometimes guys that put their name in there and you don't think they're staying in wind up staying in. I hope that's not the case with Doak. I think both he and Kansas would benefit significantly if he comes back. And I look forward to talking about a team that has the deepest front court in America if he does indeed come back. So we wish him nothing but the best.
Absolutely. Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, with us, brought to you by Anderson Insurance Agency. Stop by and see Matt and Jamie, 118 North Mill and Beloit, or call them at 738-5701. Well, I wasn't originally having this on my prep set of questions for you, but then this came out yesterday, and I just want to get your reaction or find out what Bill Self's reaction is to this, because this is a pretty big story yesterday in all of sports, and that is the Commission on College Basketball, headed by former Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice, presented recommendations yesterday for major reform. Here are the five key recommendations in a nutshell. They recommend to get rid of the one and done. Two, allow agent-athlete communication as early as high school. Three, undrafted players can return to school, which I think is a terrific idea. I've always said I don't understand why they can't. I think they should have that opportunity. Harsher penalties for those that break the rules, stricter penalties for rule breakers moving forward, including five-year postseason bans and increased financial penalties for programs with repeat offenders, maybe even possibly lifetime bans for major rules violators. And then the last one, it's certainly been in the news a lot about the shoe companies, and it's basically to limit shoe company influence. Those are the five highlights. It's a 60-page report. I don't think a lot of people took the time to read every word of those 60 pages. And it just, these are recommendations. I think there's some people that go, oh, this is what college basketball is going to do. They're going to eliminate one and done. No, this is a recommendation. These things may not happen. And the one and done, the NBA said, listen, the earliest that we could implement that would be 2020. That would be the earliest it would happen. So not this year's draft, not next year's draft. What's the reaction of Bill Self and coaches across the country, but particularly Bill Self, you're closest to him, and then your reaction to just that report and those recommendations by the Commission on College Basketball?
Well, first off, to touch on the things that you pointed out, you know, I agree with you that it would be great if players that did not get drafted could come back. What I fear is if you start doing that, let's think about Malik Newman and Devontae Graham, for example. As soon as they announced that they're all in on the draft, and with Devontae, here's a guy that is further down the road academically and all that, and he can break away and start going out to L.A. to train and stuff like that. But you know, a lot of these guys, they just drop whatever they're doing, and you've got folks on campus trying to help them with completion of coursework. But man, how many guys have you heard about that just completely, as far as the second semester goes, kind of check out because they know in their mind they're going to go in the draft and try out the process. What happens when it doesn't work out and suddenly you didn't finish your coursework, you didn't close the semester with appropriate grades to be eligible for the following year? And I worry and wonder that if we get into that Pandora's box of, okay, anybody can declare and still come back, how many of them are going to be in academic standing and able to come back and still play the very next semester in the fall of the next season?
But isn't that on them, though? I mean, if you know that you can come back, isn't that on those individuals to know, hey, okay, if I'm not going to stay up on my studies, I know that I'm not going to be able to come back and catch up because I'm so confident I'm going to be drafted. Then you're not drafted. That's the mistake that they make. But if they hedge their bet and they know that that's a second option, I'm undrafted, I can come back, then don't you, I mean, the smart thing would be is to play it safe and stay up on your coursework as much as you can, right?
And yet, for some of these guys that are so hell-bent on leaving, partly it's because they don't enjoy school a ton, and they probably need the 100% of the attention focused on that because maybe the grades were struggling to begin with. I don't know too many guys that can leave campus and still pull it off when they're throwing 90% of their energy into trying to get in the best shape of their lives, trying to put on the best show of their lives, these combines and all that stuff. It'll be interesting to see. I think if that change is enacted, there'll be more done on college campuses to help these guys with their coursework, even if they aren't. But to me, giving half of yourself to any endeavor never leads to excellence. And these guys are going to put more of themselves into enhancing their draft position than they are their academics. I'm just saying it can work, I'm sure, but it's a bit of a sticky wicket.
Sure.
And yet, like you, I agree with the premise that they should have a chance to come back. I'm just saying, how many of these guys were kind of teeter-tottering on academic eligibility to begin with, and now you're telling me they're going to leave in April and still, you know, expect to be able to come back in the fall. I don't know. I think that's one of several things on this report that have the best of intentions.
Yeah.
And, I could see a lot of good coming from that. But I think Tom Keegan put it best. In some of these regards, they're kind of just kicking the can down the road.
Yeah.
A lot of work went into it, I'm sure. And Bill Self, you asked about his stance. You know, he put out the quote that talked about how much, you know, that they appreciate the commission's recommendations and the diverse group of folks on this commission that are committed to further the charge put forth by the NCAA president, Mark Emmert, and the recommendations will create further discussions and implementation that will lead to significant changes. I think the key in all of this is eventually. I mean, there was no swooping change that went on yesterday. There was nothing that was like, oh, my gosh, this is going down. You hear the date about 2020 and the one-and-done's possibly taking effect by then, and that would be a huge change. But there's so much of an undertaking that has to go on here, and I guess, if I'm shooting straight with you, I kind of felt like yesterday's announcement was a little underwhelming just in terms of, you know, how much is going to actually get done right away. And, you know, they call this big press conference. They create a new logo. I love Jay Billis's tweet about, hey, get your popcorn ready. They've got a logo. This is really going to be amazing. And then it really wasn't. And he was being tongue-in-cheek, you know.
Right.
So I don't know. I mean, obviously their intentions are in the right place.
Right.
But at the same time, I don't know that we got a whole lot accomplished yesterday to the degree that many hoped might be. And I don't know that we learned a whole lot more new stuff that wasn't already intentions that have been spoken and written in other places heading into it. So how quickly the can gets kicked down the road from here, I suppose, is the question that remains to be seen. But like Coach Self said, and he put it best, you know, these are recommendations that are aimed in the right direction, and they're just going to create further discussions from here. And hopefully that will lead to great changes that are good for the game. But I don't think it's anything that's going to be moving the needle anytime soon.
No, I agree with your points. And the undrafted part with the players, I think that's a good angle that you present because, you know, certainly it's one of those things where, yes, you could come back. You still have the door open, but you obviously show something that some people may not be aware of. And I hadn't thought of it that way is, yes, it's an option for them to come back. But if they spend all that time trying to get ready for the draft, and that's where all their focus is, they might not be able to come back because obviously they weren't able to keep their grades up. So it really isn't an option. And then, as you mentioned, these are all recommendations. There's nothing significant that's going to change tomorrow when it comes to the college athletics. One more thing before we get into spring football, and that is they say goodbye to the one and done. They're recommending that the one and done goes bye-bye to make 18-year-olds eligible for the NBA draft, which, you know, you and I talked about the one and done, and you said you're one of maybe in the minority that you actually don't mind the one and done. But I want to throw this out there at you today because I saw this on Twitter, and you maybe saw this as well. And it was somebody that's associated with Kansas or the Jayhawks. I don't know who exactly it was. Since 2008, which, of course, KU won the national title in 2008, the Jayhawks have had four teams without a one and done. And three of those four have made the Final Four. Since 2008, when KU's seven teams that had a one-and-done, none of those Jayhawk teams with a one-and-done has made the Final Four. Does that sound right? Does that stat sound right? Because that's an interesting stat if that's true.
No, it's very true.
Wow.
And I think that, quite frankly, the formula that was put in place, you know, with Kentucky's 2012 team, you had largely all freshmen, but you had one transcendent talent, a once-in-a-generational guy in Anthony Davis.
Yep.
And if you get those guys on the right team with the right blend around them, something special can happen. But it seems like every year there's somebody that's being hyped as a once-in-a-generational talent. I mean, Jay Billis, I just quoted him earlier, he was calling DeAndre Ayton a future NBA Hall of Famer before the NCAA tournament. And obviously, you know, they got their bubble burst early on. And he was one of probably five guys you would have said that about in this year's particular crop of freshmen. I mean, Marvin Bagley was supposed to be the best thing ever. He didn't get there. And so my point is, it's great to see these guys in the college game, but if they don't have enough of a supporting cast of experience and veteran leadership around them, it's rare to see them go all the way. You know, Carmelo Anthony obviously was a great one-and-done example, and there was even a a quote from a KU recruit who wound up signing at Oregon. Malik Harrison was his name, and he was being pursued by everybody. And he said he wanted to Carmeloize the situation, taking Carmelo's name and turning it into like a verb or something, saying, I want to come in and just take over in 1 year and take him all the way to the title. Well, what did Carmelo have on that team? He had Jerry McNamara. He had Akeem Warwick. Warwick, more of a veteran. He had several other guys that helped with that. And I think, you know, what Bill Self's tried to do in the era of the one and done is to have one or two of those five-star game-changing talents, best athlete on the floor, but supplement them with great leadership. And if you don't have that, it's hard to make it all the way. And some of the teams that have made it the farthest have been the teams that just had great experience and leadership and maybe two-and-done type talent, like Darrell Arthur, for example, that helped cut down the Nets in two seasons. And so I think, you know, Kentucky is great proof that it can be done, but more times than not, it's not done that well if you just do it all with one and done, because at the end of the day, they're 19-year-olds at best, in some cases still 18-year-olds, who kind of start to look the part of a veteran by February, but they're going up against 22- and 23-year-olds, and yeah, their game-changing talent can win some of the one-on-one matchups, but I'll take the sum of the collective parts of four guys that have been playing together, five guys that have been playing together for 4 years, and I think that's proven out many times over if you look at how deep Kentucky's gone in the one-and-done era under Calipari. They have their, you know, peak moments, but again, Anthony Davis was the guy that brought them a title. They have other teams flamed out way too soon.
Oh yeah,
and so I think that proof's in the pudding right there. That at the end of the day, it's still veteran talent, good talent, mind you, that you would probably want to win with more consistently than guys that are inexperienced but uber talented.
Which does not bode well for KU next year to make that run that we're just talking about. Not to say it can't be done, but that the statistics are against that. And, you know, 2003 was when Carmelo and they beat KU. That was 15 years ago. That was a long time ago when a one-and-done kind of took over and got to a championship and won it all. And you mentioned Anthony Davis and the freshman they had. And then the other one I thought of was Derrick Rose at Memphis, of course, in 2008. You know, one-and-done guy that got to the championship, and, of course, KU won it all. But, yeah, it's an interesting stat. It surprised me when I saw that with the KU teams with the one-and-dones compared to the ones that didn't have one-and-dones. All right, I know you're getting excited about football. Yeah, we're talking football. A lot of spring games were last weekend. KU having their spring football showcase this weekend. What's some of the highlights? What are some things that you're looking forward to seeing as you get ready to prepare for next football season?
Well, I think that, you know, I'm not going to come on here and act like the spring showcase is the new wave of how to do spring football. Like, we're more excited about that than an actual game. I'll shoot straight with you. Obviously, we'd rather see 11-on-11 for 2 hours, right?
Yeah.
But I think this is the sensible decision when you have some personnel concerns up front in the trenches, where heading into the spring, they had a handful of guys on the O-line that they knew were going to be out, but should be fine for the fall. And then there have been a couple of guys get nicked up since then to where you're down to 7 or 8 offensive linemen. And this is the sensible thing to do. You're not trying to put on a show for the fans that doesn't count for anything in the spring. It compromises your chances to be effective in the fall. And so with the health up front, they decided we don't want to try to have 7 offensive linemen playing, you know, a total of an hour and a half, 2 hours going back and forth where some guys are having to play on both teams and all that. Let's just have some drills that are designed to create some competitive plays and excitement, one of which is a 4-on-5 pass rushing drill where normally in spring football, even in the camps that are having games, you've got a different colored jersey on the quarterback and you can't ever touch the quarterback. Well, they're going to have a drill on Saturday where they take a couple of kids that are former high school quarterbacks that now play other positions at KU, like receiver or something like that. They put them back there behind the O-line, and they turn the 4 pass rushers loose and just say, go get them. And you wouldn't normally get that in a spring setting, but they really want to teach and preach finishing the play. And it may sound elementary, but think about it. If the whole spring you're playing as a pass rusher to get to the quarterback but not take him down, and you have to slam on the brakes right when you get there, it doesn't exactly ingrain great finish-the-play habits when it comes to the fall. And that's the way it is in August, too. You know, when you're heading into the season, you're not playing to completion and tackling drills in practice. Well, this drill created by Clint Bowen allows them to do that. I think fans will have fun seeing that. There'll be some cool live speed kick return drills with Kenny Perry, the new special teams coordinator. But there will be some 11-on-11 and 7-on-7 too. I just don't know how much. That practice plan has not been released just yet. But I want to tell fans that are thinking about making the drive over, it's still worth showing up for, because you're going to get to see some glimpses of guys that are going to play key roles for Kansas next year. I'm super excited about the improvement in the secondary and up front on the D-line, two position groups that go hand-in-hand in really making the defense go. And then, obviously, you know, there's a lot of competition at quarterback right now. Miles Kendrick is a guy that has come in and really pushed Peyton Bender and Carter Stanley to the point where there's zero separation, according to the coach. And that might not sound like good news to some, but he perceives that as good news, that, you know, they may have found something in Miles, but at the same time, his incumbents have improved enough to where they're not going to just let him come in and take the ball and run with it. So it's going to be fun to see him as well. I think for anybody showing up, there's a lot of festivities before the game coming in, and you're going to have six NFL guys in the house, including Chris Harris, a three-time Pro Bowler, so a chance to maybe meet him and get some autographs. It's going to be a fun day. It's not a spring game like we had last year with the draft, and I realize that's way more fun, but I think given the circumstances, this was the right move to make, and they're all putting their eggs in the basket of the fall, obviously, and I think they're pretty excited about the direction things are headed for the fall. So look forward to that. And when you come, you'll notice on the west side of the stadium, they're already breaking ground and moving dirt on getting that indoor facility built, which is an exciting addition as well, and something you absolutely have to have to keep up with the Joneses and the Big 12 arms race at facilities. And so I think there's good things going on. It may not be a typical spring or a typical spring format, but you're going to like what you see on the field, particularly with, you know, a 4- or 5-star corner and Corion Harris as an addition to JC guys that I think are going to make that secondary significantly improved. And then look for the individual improvement out of returning players. You know, we've heard a lot about Kyle Mayberry growing up in the secondary. You know about Daniel Wise and Joe Zanine and what to expect from them. But what about Willie McCaleb getting healthy? Guys like that that have put in a lot of work in the offseason, and maybe you see a little extra burst. You see a little bit more promise in the glimpses you'll get on Saturday. So I really hope folks will turn out. And obviously, we look forward to the fall as well. But there is some good things brewing with Kansas football right now, both in facilities and with the assembly of this roster. And I think fans will see that if they show up on Saturday at 1 o'clock.
Yeah, gates open at 11, alumni game 12 to 12:30, the showcase at 1, Hawk Zone from 11 to 1, a lot of things for people to enjoy, and of course they'll have a tailgate. It's never too early to tailgate, so enjoy all
that
tomorrow.
Yeah, no doubt. We finally have spring weather. I mean, it took until almost May to feel like spring. Our average home game temperature for baseball prior to Wednesday night, or I guess it's Tuesday night with Wichita State, prior to finally having a spring weather game, our average home game weather in 23 home games was 40.6 degrees.
Yuck.
So yeah, it's been a rough spring of weather, but it's going to be great on Saturday, so I hope folks will make the trek over, and just appreciate you guys' coverage throughout.
Absolutely. Let's see here. I've got the off-the-ball question for you. I'm going to make you the general manager. You're going to be John Dorsey of the Cleveland Browns tonight. You have the first overall pick in NFL draft. Who are you taking?
You know, if I'm him, then it's probably Darnold, but I'm cheering for it to be Baker Mayfield because, you know, after all the antics in Lawrence, I want to see him go to Cleveland. and yet, at the same time, they've really got some good pieces. If they make the right decision there,
yeah,
with some of the additions they made in the last couple of drafts, that's a franchise that can finally turn the corner. But it has been quarterback purgatory for so long now. There's an image on Google you can find of a fan who bought, I don't know if it was like originally a Tim Couch jersey or what, but he scratched out Couch,
yep,
changed the name to the next quarterback and the next quarterback, and it goes all the way down to the bottom of the jersey with like 26 different guys they've tried. And so I kind of want to see, you know, and obviously Baker's a terrific talent, but he's a guy that has a lot of moxie and a lot of confidence, and I want to see if he can truly step into a situation like that and make it great. But you know what? They've got weapons up there. Whoever they draft is going to get to throw to Jarvis Landry. I mean, there's real change going on in Cleveland, so that's going to be interesting. But Darnold, to me, might be the better of the two. But, man, what a class. You got 5 or 6 quarterbacks that are legitimate first-rounders, and Lamar Jackson, a Heisman Trophy winner, you know, might be the last quarterback in the first round drafted. If not Rudolph, you know, we'll see where they go. Josh Rosen could be a top-10 pick. I'm fascinated with the signal-caller talent, and it comes at a time when Tom Brady could be playing in his last season. Peyton Manning just retired. couple years ago. Drew Brees has maybe 3 years left, but there's going to be a changing of the guard in terms of the faces of the NFL at that position. And this might be the class that we look back on and be like, wow, look at all the studs that came from that group. But you know what? I will give Baker Mayfield some love, since I said I kind of hope the Browns take him, so he'll have a tougher situation. But I do respect him and his abilities a lot, and I do respect his creativity. And I give you this, and I'll end with this. If you haven't seen the photo he took in a recreation of the Brett Favre draft day photo,
yeah.
What was that, 91,
yep.
I think it was?
Yeah, 90
you
or 91.
You've got to see it. With the jean shorts, and he had all of his family and friends like reenacting the shot from inside the dorm room. And I'm telling you, that was amazing stuff. So, to me, kudos, Baker Mayfield. Didn't think you'd hear that from the Kansas guy, but I thought he did a great job with that. And that's what draft day is all about, man. You include your family and friends. It's been a lifelong journey to this point. And he's a terrific success story, proving his doubters wrong throughout. And now we get more chances to coming up starting tonight.
Great minds think alike. We were just talking before we had you on that we thought the safest pick would be Darnold of the quarterbacks, but we kind of all would like to see Mayfield go one. We thought that'd be interesting. And by the way, Cleveland getting better. They have the fourth pick as well. They could end up getting Saquon Barkley to go along with a quarterback of the future and have a veteran already there in Tyrod Taylor. All I'm going to say is I'm a Chiefs fan. I'm going to relax. No picks tonight for the Chiefs because you know what? We've got our quarterback, right, Brian Haney? Patrick Mahomes.
I've got the Patrick Mahomes jersey in the closet, man. I'm excited. And it's amazing. You look at Texas Tech, that particular group, they're about to have a top five pick. Just had what was Mahomes, 10th
yep,
last
10th.
Year? And then even Davis Webb is in the pros. And so Cliff Kingsbury hasn't figured it out, you know, to be a consistent bowl team every year just yet. But if you look at the quarterbacks that were on campus within a 14-month span, it turned out some pretty amazing talent in that regard.
Brian, stay on the line. I just ask you a question once we get done here, if you can stay on the line. Thanks again for your time.
Sure.
We appreciate it, buddy. All right?
Always great to talk to you, my friend.
That's Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, brought to you by Anderson Insurance Agency. Stop by and see Matt and Jamie at 118 North Mill in Beloit or call them at 738-5701. And we'll have Brian on again next Tuesday to recap the Spring Football Showcase.